Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, December 19th, 2016. Normally on Monday, we get a nice 7, 8, 9 game slate, maybe. Not this Monday, my friends. Only 5 games. So it's going to be a small slate, a tricky slate. You guys know my strategy is I normally kind of play half the amount I normally play on a small slate like this. Depending on the slate, if I really like it, I might up that. But normally I'll play a little bit less on a slate that's 5 games or less. But this one, it's actually, on Sunday was a disgusting 5 or 6 game slate. On Monday, I actually like the slate. So I think there's ways to attack it. And I think we have a great shot at all of us making some money. Before I jump in to the meat of the show, hopefully you guys listened to the season-long podcast from the Daily Fantasy Basketball podcast that Mark and Kyle did. I mean, right now it's 3 in the morning on Sunday. I think they taped their show a little before I'm starting this. So, I think you guys are probably listening to this on Monday. So hopefully you listen to that show too. And I know some of you have asked me what happened to the season-long stuff. And what happened to Mark and Kyle? It's lately last few weeks. It's kind of just been the judge going solo, and that's okay. And look, life is hard. These podcasts, even though they're fun to do, they can be a grind, and there's a lot of prep work. And Mark and Kyle they've been doing the show, and they started the Daily Fantasy Basketball podcast about a year and a half ago, and they were doing a podcast, I think, on a different site before that. And so they kind of just were wanted to go in different directions, and they just didn't have the time to continue on with the podcast. And, and it's sad to see them go. I mean, I consider those guys friends. I mean, I love those guys. I mean, they're super talented, and in terms of basketball, their basketball knowledge was phenomenal. So I just want to say thanks to those two guys, and they will be missed. So at least hopefully you listen to their kind of send off show, and hopefully throughout the season, I'll be able to persuade them to come on and join me and be a guest host with me. And maybe we can still get Mark to do a couple season long shows and Kyle to do a season long or a DFS show throughout the course of the year. But with that said, I mean, nothing's going to change from the judge. The judge is still here. The judge is still going to grind for you. The judge here is going to help you navigate through these treacherous, dangerous DFS life that we now live in. And the only thing that's going to change, as far as I'm concerned, is the name of the show. Because, Kyle and Mark came up with the Daily Fantasy Basketball podcast. So, it's not right for me to carry on with that name. So the show will now be called DG's Courtroom. And that's kind of, my website. That was where I started a website a couple years ago. And I was basically doing videos called DG's Courtroom. And so now I'm just going to use that for the name of the podcast. Yeah. To me, that made the most sense. A lot of listeners are familiar with that anyway. But again, in terms of the substance of the show, I'm going to be doing the same thing that we've been doing the last month or however long the season's been going on already. So there's really no substantive changes. I just wanted to make sure Mark and Kyle had enough time to figure out what they really wanted to do, if they wanted to continue to host and whatnot. And it's totally fine. I mean, as I know a lot of you guys know, time is hard to come by, free time, and these podcasts aren't easy. So again, I want to say thank you to Mark and Kyle, and thank you to the listeners as well. Hopefully you guys will stick with me. I mean, the listeners that did sign up and subscribe for Mark and Kyle. Hopefully you're staying with the judge. I've grown to love you guys too. I mean, I've been on the show, with Mark last year. It's my second year. So I know we kind of transitioned more to the DFS side this year, but, I've been hearing good things, and I hope you guys continue to listen and I'll continue to grind for you as long as I can. and I'll grab naps at work and get yelled at by my bosses. So with that said, that's enough of that. Let us get on with the show, my friends. So like I was saying, Monday's 5 games. I guess let's talk about Draft, the sponsored draft. Hopefully you guys have been downloading that app Draft. The judge has been telling you to. The bailiff has been telling you to. And I want to do some cool competitions on there this week. And maybe you know, I'm normally doing a lot of head-to-head snake drafts with you guys. I think I want to roll out some like 10, 20-person kind of drafts, similar to what we're doing in Chambers on FanDuel. Maybe we can get that going on Draft. So if you want to be a part of that, maybe holler at me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. We're going to get that going. And if you haven't downloaded the app, remember, make sure you use the promo code, even though now it's not even the name of the show, but the promo code, make sure you use it, DFBPOD, so you get that deposit bonus. And that would be phenomenal. All right, let's move on and talk about Chambers from Sunday night. Sunday night was a weird, you know, very low scoring. There was only, I think it was 5 games on Sunday night as well for the main slate. And everyone was basically playing the same players. It was you know, not the greatest slate to play, especially because you had one of the games was Memphis-Utah. So it was basically like 4 games. But a shout out to Buzz F, longtime listener of the pod. Joshua Fuller, I think is his real name. Hope he doesn't mind giving me out his real name. It's so weird with all the weird Twitter names, you know, whenever it's like, you know, people has like, you know, Monster Gordon or Monster or whatever. And then whenever you say someone's real name, it sounds odd. But Buzz F, or as Josh, whichever one he wants me to go by, he got his first Chambers win. And he's new to DFS this year. So a big shout out to him. Congrats. Put up a score of 282. I told you, man, it was a low scoring night. But kudos to him because he had the cojones to play Gordon Hayward. And everyone else on the planet played Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard was basically a soul crusher and put up 19 FanDuel points and sucked because San Antonio just destroyed the Pelicans and Kawhi didn't need to play a lot of minutes. And on a small slate, that's all it takes, man. If you make one, you know, pivot off of one kind of chalk guy and go to someone who no one wants to play. No one wanted to play Gordon Hayward against Memphis. I didn't want to. The judge didn't want to. I think I played him in one lineup, and I did it in like a $1 tournament. But in my high money stuff, I didn't pull the trigger either. So kudos to him. He played Gordon Hayward, and he put up like 47 FanDuel points, even though it was a nasty, low-scoring game. Also, quick shout-out to S-Cast. He's now cashed. He's the number one player in Chambers, and he's cashed 4 out of 5 nights. That's an impressive streak, my friend. So congratulations to you. Who's going to catch him, huh? Who shall catch him? I mean, he now has – let me pull up my Chambers rankings or my big spreadsheet full of data on Chambers. SCAS now has 11 caches. That's second only to the judge, who has 14 caches. And also, I get this a lot. What, like, why? Where am I in the rankings? Where's the judge? I don't include myself because I don't think it's fair. Because on days when I open 2-3 Chambers, I basically have to play in all of them because I'm opening them up. So, you know, if I do well in them, I can cash in like 2 or 3 Chambers on any given night. So that's why I don't include myself in the rankings. But SKS has now, he's cashed 11 times on the year. That's phenomenal. And again, like I said, 4 out of 5 nights. So congrats to him. Also, our winner, we had a winner in the second Chambers. Pro 13 is his FanDuel name. And he put up a score of 282. And that's his first win and first cash of the year. So two newbies take down the two different Chambers on Sunday night. Congrats to you guys. I love seeing new guys in Chambers. It's always a good sign. And it's growing, man. Up to 275 players we've had this year in Chambers. Let's keep that going. Let's keep that growing for Monday. Dream Killers? Dream Killers. Yeah, it's hard. I wish I could do a podcast one time. I'm going to do a podcast for you guys one time during the day when I'm actually like fully coherent and it's not 4 in the morning. I wonder if it would be better or worse. Hopefully it'd be better, but maybe not actually. Maybe this is my prime night, maybe nighttime of this early morning, whatever. This is the prime time for me to do these pods. Dream Killers, Sergio Rodriguez. This bum, I'm done with this buster. First he destroys us against Brooklyn. He can't attack. First he destroyed us against the Lakers earlier this week, probably like 14 FanDuel points. Then he gets the best matchup in the world against Brooklyn on Sunday night. He puts up 18 FanDuel points. He stinks. I'm disgusted with him. I hope they start TJ McConnell soon because I don't want to touch this guy going forward. Sadly, if he starts, we're probably going to have to. But and he didn't kill your lineups if you played him, but it was just disappointing. And he did fine in the first half. It was the second half where he did nothing. I think he had like two FanDuel points, two or three in the second half. Kawhi Leonard was probably the soul crusher. He just sucked. I mean, he was so chalky. I think he was like 80% owned in a lot of tournaments I was in. So he 19 FanDuel points from him. Painful. Aaron Gordon, if you played, you know, he was the wrong Gordon to play on Sunday. I think he had like 7 FanDuel points. Go figure from him. It's just not reliable. You know, he's on Magic Mountain. He's a roller coaster, and it's going to be like that with him. It's going to be like that with him probably all year. It's just super annoying. Anthony Davis. Yeah, I mean, I fell for this play. I tried to pounce on it because I wanted to differentiate my lineups. I knew he wouldn't be high owned against the Spurs. He was only 19% owned. So I don't regret doing it, but they just got blown out, and he did nothing, and he's a tin man, and I hate him not too. Jrue Holiday, I tried to have some lineups teaming up Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis because you guys know I love to team up a point guard with a big man. That game was an utter debacle all the way around. So Jrue Holiday sucked, and that was a dream killer. Serge Ibaka really let me down for Orlando. Booker. Trevor Booker for Brooklyn, he just couldn't get it going in that Brooklyn Philly game that everyone wanted to attack. I think he was in a lot of the winning lineups on tournaments just because he was chalk and everyone owned him too. So, but he, you know, he didn't perform that well. And Jahlil Okafor, I don't know if you guys have ever watched him play. I think you should. Oh, I mean, no, maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, maybe if you play some intramural ball, you feel bad about yourself. You know, you're not the same player you used to be. You're getting older. Then go home, watch some Okafor. You'll feel better about yourself because he stinks at basketball. He's a horrendous player. Offensively, I think he was like 0 for 9 or 0 for 10 from the floor to start the game against Brooklyn. You know, by the way, he's just not very good at anything. And I cannot believe that Philadelphia is playing him ahead of Nerlens Noel, who can't even get a minute on the court for that disaster of a team. I mean, it's a nightmare. The fact that they have Embiid, who's a beast, and then they have Okafor and Noel, it's just, I don't know what that franchise is doing. They got to trade those guys. But Okafor, he's so bad. Ugh. Anyway, Dream Lovers, DeMar DeRozan. I told you guys he was going to be a nice, safe play. He gave us his 40 like he always does. Gordon Hayward, no one saw that coming except Buzz F. So, and that's where it took to take down a lot of the GPPs. So congrats if you played him. LaMarcus Aldridge, he didn't go nuts, but he had like 33 FanDuel points. It's funny. I mean, we've reached the point when LaMarcus Aldridge has like 33 FanDuel points. That's basically like, you know, we're all excited for that. So, I mean, that was good enough to win a lot of money on Sunday. So if you played LaMarcus, you know, kudos. I feel like I've been saying kudos a lot in this show already, and I don't think I've ever said kudos in my life before. So I don't know what that's about. Whiteside and Embiid. There were so many centers that went nuts. Center was the only position I really loved on Sunday, and they all had good games. Valachunas, my sneaky ninja, was terrific. Embiid was terrific at over 50 FanDuel points. Brooke Lopez was really good. Whiteside was really good. They all were good. It was the problem was, you know, if you did spend down at center and you got Jonas Valachunas like I did, there was really nowhere to spend up. So you had to like take a gamble on Anthony Davis, and you know, on a normal size slate, it could have, you know, paid off. But on a small slate, you know, you really can't see the benefits of making some really nice moves in that value range. Who else? Goran Dragic, he was good. Jay Crowder finally snapped out of his little mini slump, or at least his slump in like the 20s. He had like 33 FanDuel points. He was much better than the peasant Covington. So if you played some Crowder, you were probably pretty happy. Let's go over some injury news for Monday. Kelly Oubre is questionable with a concussion. If he's out, you know, that's more minutes for Otto Porter, and especially more minutes for Markieff Morris, because Kelly Oubre, I think eventually Kelly Oubre is going to start for Washington this year, and I guess he'd start for Markieff. I think Markieff would be better coming off the bench anyway. More shots for him. Monte Ellis is still out with a sore ego. Oh, I mean a sore groin. Yeah. No one believes you, Monte. You don't want to play anymore. So Glenn Robinson will be in play a little bit. Stuckey, although Stuckey's questionable too with a sore hamstring, so scratch that. No pun intended. If Stuckey Stuckey's doubtful along with Monte being doubtful. So if both those guys are out, Glenn Robinson again is I played him on Saturday night. He was like, I think he was like 1% owned. It was crazy. And he did okay. He had like, I think he had like 24 Fando points. So he hit value for me. No one else was playing him. But I think Glenn Robinson and CJ Miles are going to be in play on a small slate on Monday. Also, Victor Oladipo, I think it looks like he's questionable with that sprained right wrist. If he's out, you can look to Morrow and Grant on the two guys soaking up his minutes. Both have not been that great, sadly. Man, Bogut looks like he's going to still be out for – or he's questionable for Dallas. All right, let's move into over-unders. So the nasty – there's kind of three solid games and two that are not so appealing. Although there's no – I don't think there's any game that's off the table. There's no Utah-Memphis, Utah-Dallas, Spurs-Dallas, nothing that disgusting. Detroit-Chicago, the over-under is only 195. That to me is a little surprising. I think that game could be a bit better than that. And plus, at least from that game, you know who's going to get all the shots. So I still think there's ways to attack that game. Obviously, it is probably going to be the slowest of the night in terms of pace, but I don't think we have to just cross that off our list. Dallas at Denver. These two teams played last week. It wasn't pretty, but there's guys we can attack here. 203 over under. Then you got Phoenix at Minnesota. That's probably the game of the night in terms of the highest over under. 214, and in terms of guys I want to attack. Washington, Indiana, 212 over under. That's also juicy, although Washington's coming on a back to back. And I love playing, I much prefer playing Wall at home. And then Atlanta, OKC is a very interesting game because obviously our first question every time OKC plays is what do we do with Westbrook? And we're going to have to ask ourselves that again on Monday. Pace, you guys know I love to attack teams playing up in pace, not down, up, my friends. Minnesota playing Phoenix. Wow, I'm going to target the heck out of some Minnesota guys. We'll get to who exactly in a few minutes. But they're playing way up in pace. Phoenix is I think they're one in the league right now in pace. So that's beautiful for Minnesota. OKC is playing up in pace. Atlanta is pretty fast. And Dallas is playing up in pace because Denver plays at a relatively fast pace and Dallas plays like a turtle. And the Wizards are playing a tiny bit up too. All right, defensive versus position. Anything stand out to the judge that we can attack? Say it with me. The Hawks are playing. So who do we attack from Atlanta? Let's go. I'll wait. We attack Atlanta guards. That's right. And OKC is playing Atlanta. Dear God. That means some Westbrook. I wish Oladipo was playing. So maybe we do roll out some Morrow and some Grant. You know, who's they're going to be playing for Oladipo because – Atlanta just cannot defend the guards. I mean, they give up the second fewest to point guards. So Westbrook, I mean, wow, he's already licking his chops. Also, you know, you can attack Westbrook on the defensive end. So Schroeder is going to be an interesting play. Minnesota, you can attack them at the point guard position. So Phoenix Bledsoe is an intriguing play at shooting guard. Oh, I've already mentioned Atlanta, but who do we attack from Denver, guys? We also attack the Denver guards. So we have Atlanta and Denver. The two teams in the NBA I love to target guards the most of. I mean, Denver gives up the third most points to point guards and the most points in the entire universe to shooting guards, whereas the Hawks give up the second most to point guards and the sixth most to shooting guards. So that's why the Dallas guys, even though it's not the best game in the world, last time Wes Matthews played Denver, he put up 33 Fando points. Both Dallas guards are going to be in play for me. In terms of big men, Phoenix is basically becoming a team you can attack almost every position. They give up, especially at the forwards spots, they give up the fifth most points to small forwards and the like eighth or ninth most to power forwards. So you can attack Phoenix at almost every position, quite honestly. The Wizards, you can attack them at power forward this year. So is that right? Actually, that's kind of right, but actually I'm looking at Indiana. Indiana you can attack at power forward this year because Thad Young is struggling greatly on both ends of the court. So it does make Markieff Morris an interesting play for me coming on this back-to-back versus the Pacers. And that's about it that stands out to me. All right, let's hop in. Top plays each position, my friends. Point guard, here it is. What do we do? Westbrook. I mean, I just can't fade him in cash on Monday. It's a small slate, and I think the floor is just too massive against the Hawks, who cannot defend the point guard position. He had 73 FanDuel points his last game out versus Phoenix. And I think the floor for Monday is probably like 55 or something like that. So, you know, I'm just too nervous on a small slate. Who's going to make that up? You know, I mean, if you fade Westbrook and let's say he only gets you 55, are there players who can make just that point production up? And God forbid he gets you like 75, I think you're basically going to be out of luck for cashing. So for me in cash games, I'm going to use him. In tournaments, you obviously can fade him. It's always risky because he could put up a 70, 80 FanDuel point night. But in tournaments, sure. I mean, you absolutely can do it. Remember, I'll say this. If everybody's thinking alike, then no one's thinking. You know what I mean by that? Hopefully you know what I mean by that. But it's basically just small slates, you're going to have to get creative a little bit. And like we saw on Sunday, the big move was just fading Kawhi, and everyone thought Kawhi was chalk, and going and pivoting off and going to Gordon Hayward. So on Monday, you have one lineup. If you play a lot of lineups, or let's say you play five, have one and just fade. And you know, if you're playing Westbrook in all of them, you know, I would say fade Westbrook in one and create a much more balanced lineup and see what happens. Because paying that 12.5K salary, it absolutely does hamper the rest of your lineup. So you know, if you slide down a little bit and go with two value guys, you know, like a Teague and Schroeder, or maybe a Bledsoe and Teague or something like that, or you want to play John Wall and Darren Williams, John Wall and Rubio. So you can do that, and you have a lot more money to spend up on other guys. Because if you play Westbrook, the problem with playing him every night is that every night you basically have two or three spots where you have busters. You have guys like Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, and Thabo Sefolosha, who you're preying on to get you 30 FanDuel points, which they can do. It makes you feel creepy inside. John Wall's next. I don't mind this matchup against Indiana. Indiana's gives up, looks like the 13th most points against point guards. Jeff Teague's not an elite defender by any stretch. And John Wall has been really nice, super consistent. Against the Clippers, a tough matchup on Sunday, he had 40 FanDuel points. He's locked into monster minutes, monster usage rate. Westbrook usage rate is 45%. That's not human. But John Wall, he's 36%. I think is that second highest in the NBA right now? It might be. I think that's a little bit higher than Joel Embiid. I mean, John Wall, he's been great this year. The problem is the rest of the Wizards have not been. One issue here is the back-to-back. It's on the road. He's notoriously better at home, and his salary keeps going up. So this is the highest I've seen it in like 2 years. It's 9.9K. So that's expensive, man. But he's still fine. Like I think his floor is around 40 FanDuel points these days, which is a pretty nice floor with a ceiling of maybe 55 on Monday. It's a fine play, and if you are going to get off Westbrook and you still want some safety, I think Wall is fine. Eric Bledsoe, 8.1K. You know, I always get yelled at whenever I mention Ricky Rubio is not a great defender, but I mean, like the DVP kind of shows that. Whereas if you look at Minnesota, I mean, they give up like the 6th, 7th most points to point guards, and you know, I don't think Rubio's good on either end of the court. Quite honestly, these days, he's playing a little better offensively lately. But I think Bledsoe's in a good spot. This is the top over-under of the game. I mean, small slates are ideal to game stack. I think it's absolutely you should game stack this. You know, maybe have some Bledsoe. You could even go a Bledsoe-Rubio as your two point guards. Because, I mean, it's going to be an up-and-down game. So both those guys should be fine. And I think Bledsoe, I mean, I'm probably not going to go that route in cash because he's too much of a Magic Mountain guy. I mean, you know, I used him against Westbrook on, I think it was Saturday night. He had only 20 FanDuel points, and that was against Westbrook, who plays no defense. So, I mean, Bledsoe, there's nothing about him this year that's been consistent. You know, I think he had one stretch about a week ago or so where he had three good games in a row, but he's still too crazy for me to use in cash. But for tournaments, he's got 50 FanDuel point upside, and in that up-and-down game, it could happen. Tournaments only, though. Jeff Teague is 7.6K. So Teague's usage rate is finally coming down, which is nice to see, down to 26.4%. You know, I'd like to see that down because that means Paul George is finally going to go up and get some more shots. the problem here, though, is Teague's price has come way up. Like, he's not a 7.6K player. But he's coming off two 40-point games. He's coming off a 42 and a 44. And one of those was against Detroit, who's got – we'll talk about them in a couple minutes. They're having all kinds of issues because the ball hog Reggie Jackson is just making everyone irate. So I don't love Teague at that price, man. Like, I don't – I mean, could he have a 40 Vandal point night versus Washington? Sure. But there's just other – I mean, point guard I really like on Monday. There's a couple of positions I really like. And a couple I do not. Point guard's one that I do. I just think you have some better options. If you do want to spend down, you don't want to spend up on Westbrook and Wall. I mean, I think Teague is safer than Bledsoe, that's for sure. But you know, I don't. It's not an elite matchup. It's fine. You can do it. I just don't love it. I mean, I will definitely roll him out in some tournaments though. Dennis Schroeder, 6.8K. I mean, his usage rate is 29.6%. Which is crazy high. I mean, that's got to go down too, because I want my boy Millsap to get some more shots, which he does not. And that's the sole reason why. That and the fact that he's going up against Westbrook and Westbrook can't defend anyone because he's just too tired from doing everything offensively. I definitely prefer Schroeder over Teague on Monday night, and I love the fact that I can save $800. The only thing that annoys me is I used Schroeder on Saturday night and he absolutely crucified me. He only had 22 Vandal points. And that was a large slate, and other point guards did a lot better. But before that game, he was so consistent. He was 34, 40, 40, 34, 38, 26, 35, 46. And that's what a high usage rate is going to do. So I expect him to bounce back on Monday night. Maybe he'll be a little under-owned due to recency bias. God, I love attacking Westbrook, and my two – cash game point guards right now are Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder. Darren Williams is 6.3K. Look, I mentioned at the top of the show that you can attack these Denver guards. Moutier is a trash, disgusting defender. So Darren Williams is fine. He's a little pricey for me at 6.3K, and the ceiling is just not great. I mean, I don't think he's hit 40 Fando points this year. His highest has been like 35, which he's got, you know, close to a couple times. So for that matter, I if you want to use him in cash, I guess it's fine. But I'm not going to play a ton of him. I'll have a little exposure because I'll probably have one lineup where I game stack this just to try to be a little unique / crazy on this small slate. Ricky Rubio, 6K. So he's had a couple decent games, 32-32 the last two games versus Houston and at Chicago. To me, that's not relevant. What's relevant to me are the minutes for him, and the minutes are because he was stuck in like the 20s. He was like the only Minnesota starter not getting legit big time minutes. But he got 41 against Houston, which was great, and he got 35 against Chicago. So that's all signs appear to be pointing now in the right direction for Rubio. Granted, Minnesota did cough up a huge lead late because they kept turning the ball over. Which, if you have Rubio on your team, you can't have that happen. So, in this matchup, I think he's in play on Monday. So I'm fine with using him. You know, if you want to use him in cash, I guess you could. I won't. In tournaments, sure. He will get a 40 Fando point night in the next couple weeks, and when he does, it's going to be in a super high paced game like this. Like, I mean, he's not going to do it, you know, versus Detroit, versus Dallas. It's going to have to be versus a Denver versus a Phoenix, you know, a team like that. So it's a good spot for him, and he's still no one's going to play him on Monday because there's too many other good point guards, and he's been really bad this year. Reggie Jackson, 5.9K. Everyone hates Reggie Jackson on Detroit. They've had a couple bad losses since he's been back, and they had a team meeting because his usage rate's 32%, and that's insane because he's not John Wall, he's not Russell Westbrook, he's not Dennis Schroeder for that matter. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And not surprisingly, every other Detroit player, their usage rates are going down, their shot attempts are going down, and they're not happy about it. So that makes Monday night very intriguing. I'm not sure how is Reggie going to react to that. Is he going to shoot less? Is he going to pass the ball a little bit more? The last game out, he had 19 points and 10 assists. He actually had 37 Fando points. So if you played him in DFS, you were actually really happy with the result. And he's still priced down. He's 5.9K. I mean, he'll be 7K in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So I like this spot. I mean, I'm a little nervous with that team meeting. I mean, maybe he's just going to go in the tank like Kobe did a few years ago and just not shoot at all for a game and just like only pass. I don't know what to expect. But to me, in tournaments, it's worth a shot. Especially, I mean, it's the lowest over under of the night. So I mean, I think he's going to be really low owned, and he can give you 40 FanDuel points at that price. So and it's intriguing. It's a sneaky play, and I'm going to use it in tournaments on Monday. Other than that, Rondo has dipped down to 5.7K. You know, if you want to do a game stack of this Pistons Bulls game, you could do that. It's not many people are going to, because it's 195 over under. Rondo's been really bad. Just in real life, in fantasy, in DFS, and everywhere. And I'm probably not going to have too much of him on Monday. Although the Bulls, I mean, we basically have two teams that are struggling horrendously on Monday, Detroit, Chicago. So, I mean, but God, both those teams really need a win. Emmanuel Mudiay, 5K. You know, he's at Magic Mountain on the roller coaster. Although we don't let him in. He can only go on like the kiddie rides. He's look every 10 days he's going to have a 35, 40 FanDuel point night, and then every the other 9 games he's going to stink and give you between 10 and 20. So tournament only play. Really slow paced game versus Dallas. I'm not going to chase Mudiay's last game when he had like close to 40 FanDuel points. I'm not a big fan of his in that matchup. Under 5K, as of right now, there's really no value point guards that I'm going to look to on Monday. So, I mean, I don't really want anyone else. I guess Jameer Nelson would be the only other guy you could potentially look to. Shooting guard is not very good on Monday. Just be ready. So my boy D Wade is 7.1K. I don't like attacking KCP. I do like playing Wade when he has some rest, and Chicago hasn't played a game since Friday. So, I mean, Wade on like 3 days rest, that's an ideal spot for him. The Bulls need a win. Shooting guard is such a mess. He's fine for cash games if you want to roll him out on Monday. Tournaments, I'm a little nervous too. But, you know, with this disgusting small slate, I mean, like, he played Detroit. Chicago played Detroit, I think it was last week. And he put up 35 FanDuel points. He had 19 points and 8 assists. So, I mean, that's the thing about Wade's not really scoring dependent. He'll do other things, man. He'll get rebounds. He'll get assists. He can occasionally get some block and steals, too. Granted, he'll get turnovers as well. But so, I mean, that's 7.1K price. I'd like to see it down a little bit, but that's fair. And maybe I'm going to have to reconsider playing a little bit more of him than I originally anticipated. But I think it's a fine play on Monday. It's not elite, but it's okay. Bradley Beal is 7K. Yeah, I mean, he was so good on Sunday. That's the only thing that's making me figure I'm a little – that's making me not want to play him as much on Monday, because I think he's going to be the highest owned shooting guard. Against the Clippers, he had 50 FanDuel points. He had 41 actual points. 38 minutes, and against Indiana, who's gonna be guard? I'm trying to think, who's gonna be guarding for Indiana? I mean, they give up the 10th most FanDuel points to shooting guards. I guess it would be, I don't know who the heck would guard him. I mean, Glenn Robinson gonna be guarding him? Maybe. So I mean, Beal's a really good play. I mean, most people are gonna prefer him over Wade. I mean, this is not like exactly similar to Kawhi and Gordon Hayward on Sunday, but it's a little bit similar. So if you want to pivot off of Bradley Beal, which everyone's going to be chasing that 50 FanDuel point night, and go to Wade, I think you can do it. I think on paper Bradley Beal's probably a little bit of a better play, but I mean Wade's fine too. Zach LaVine, 6.4K. I love this Phoenix Minnesota game. I definitely want to have some lineups where I play LaVine and Wiggins especially. And the minutes are just insane for him. 45, 43, 42 the last 3 minutes. He's basically playing the entire game. And minutes equal money. So, I think he's fine. If he's just going to get – if he's getting 40 minutes, the price has come up a little bit, so that's upsetting. But, look, if he's getting 40 minutes on a small slate, that's – he's going to give me in that high-paced game, he's going to give me 30 FanDuel points. And that means, I'm going to play him in cash, but I think he's an elite level tournament play on Monday. KCP at 5.8K. He was the one Piston that actually had a really good game besides Reggie on Sunday, or that actually on Saturday. He had his last two games he's been good, 33 and 35 Fando points. One of those games, Reggie Jackson was kind of benched, so he was able to get some more shots up. But he played well with Jackson last game, which was good to see. 5.8K, that's a fair price for him. And I think he'll be low owned. That's the lowest over-under of the game. So, I mean, I prefer LaVine. I do prefer Beal over him on Monday. But if you don't have the money, you can roll him out. He's a relatively safe play. Devin Booker, 5.7K. I mean, you know, the love affair has ended with Booker, but his last game out was his best game in about a month. He had 38 Fando points. And before that, he had like 10 games in a row where he was in, you know, basically stuck in like the mid to low 20s. So that was good to see. He had 31 actual points. And, you know, one trick ponies like Devin Booker, those guys are streaky. So when they're hot, that's when you need to attack. I think, you know, Minnesota, like Wiggins is a really sneaky good defender. And Zach LaVine is actually not a bad defender either. Minnesota gives up the seventh fewest points to shooting guards, but I think it's a nice tournament play. And if you want to game stack, you know, you can easily game stack this Phoenix Minnesota with, you know, you can go Bledsoe and Rubio and Booker and Wiggins and, you know, get a lot of the guards, you know, in that game for sure. And it's just, I think he's cheap. He's going to be relatively low owned and I don't think I use him for cash right now, but you know, you could, and tournaments, absolutely. Wes Matthews. So we don't love this game, the Dallas-Denver game, but we love attacking Denver shooting guards. The last time Wesley Matthews played Denver, which was last week, he had 34 Fando points, 25 actual points. I see no reason to go away from that. And I mean, the one thing I'll say is Gary Harris is back for Denver. So, you know, is Denver going to get a little better at defending? I mean, Gary Harris is a better defender than the bums they're throwing out before. Like Will Barton is not an elite defender. I mean, I don't think Gary Harris is an elite defender anyway, and I still think you can attack the Denver guards, but just keep that in mind. It's not as ideal as it was when G. Harris was out. But Wes Matthews is still a safe play in cash games, totally fine to do. Tournaments, you can do it. Upside's not great. The thing that annoys me about him is his usage rate. It's 21.3%, and I don't get it, because who else for Dallas is there to shoot besides Harrison Barnes? So he should have a 25% usage rate. So that's why for tournaments, I don't play him a ton, because that usage rate's too low. I mean, how high is the ceiling going to be? The ceiling can't be that high, right? I mean, I need more shot attempts so you can give me a 40-45 Fando point night, because I think Booker can give me that. I know the guys like KCP showing me he can even do that. A little bit. LaVine definitely can. Beal can. With Wes Matthews, the usage is just really down compared to those guys. Next up, the two Denver guys, Will Barton, Jerry, and then G. Harris. So Barton's price is not reflecting what it should be. Granted, I mean, first of all, don't ever think about using Barton in cash anymore. The minutes are going to be like a yo-yo, 32, 23, 33, 24. So it looks like it's going to be between, you know, low 20s and low 30s, 34, 21, and 10 Fando points the last three games. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, we call him Will the Thrill for a reason. He's going to get you between 10 and 30 Fando points. Not a good game playing way down in pace versus Dallas. So if you want to do it in the tournament, you can. But shooting guard, I like a lot of guys better. And I like his teammate better, Gary Harris. He's cheaper at 4.8K. He's getting the same amount of minutes. He's getting, except his a little more consistent, at 30 and 32 the last two games, and 25 and 38 Fando points. So Gary Harris is I think he's safe for cash on Monday. He's cheap. If you want to go a cheap route and save some money at shooting guard, I'm fine with Gary Harris, even though I don't love that game. Other than that, Brandon Knight, if you want to throw him in a tournament, you can. The usage for him is still the only reason why I keep playing him a little bit is the fact that his usage rate is still 27.2%. And so that means, and the way that, Earl Watson runs that Phoenix squad, if the second unit comes in and plays well, then he gives them more minutes. And so there's a chance that Brandon Knight could go off. And on a small slate, you can play him in some tournaments. Tim Hardaway Jr., yeah, I mean, it's his price has come up. And sad to say, though, he's become – you got to consider him. He's got 34 and 23 the last two games. Last four games have been fine, 34, 23, 19, and 28. And the minutes have all been in the low to mid-30s. And he guns the ball. I was shocked last time I watched Atlanta play how many times he just would shoot. The usage rate's only 22%, although that is not reflective of the last of since he's now entered the starting lineup. And he's gunning the ball. And he looks like he has the green light to shoot. And that makes him in play for me on Monday. I'll probably only use him in tournaments, but I will use him a little bit. Small forward. I need some water. Man, I think I'm talking a lot, even though it's only five games. All right, Jimmy Buckets. He was not Jimmy Buckets the last few games, I'll tell you that. He was 9K, and he made me drink a lot of alcohol on, I think it was Friday night when I played him. They played the Bucks back-to-back, and he was equally horrible both nights, 25 and 31 FanDuel points. And if you're going to be paying 9K and you get that value or that production, that's upsetting. His only good news out of that was the price came down to 8.5K. The problem here is you're playing Detroit, and the Pistons give up the fewest points to opposing small forwards, which I find surprising. A lot of that does have to do with the fact that Detroit plays at a really slow pace. But, you know, I don't love Butler on Monday. I mean, I'm probably going to do it in a couple tournaments just because he's got to snap out of this funk. And, you know, there's no elite small forwards, but, you know, I don't want to go that route too much on Monday. Right now, my cash games, I have I have Wiggins in cash, actually. Looks like Cephalosha right now I'm rolling with. I don't know if that's going to hold or not, but it looks like in small forward, I'm going to roll with two relatively value guys. So I don't know if I'm going to have the money anyway to spend on Jimmy Buckets for cash. Paul George, you know, I where's the usage rate? Because you guys know I got to check my usage rate on PG-13. Nope. Still the same, 26.6%. That sucks. He's been perplexing and frustrating all year. I mean, when he has a good game, it's like 40 FanDuel points, and that's like giving you value. So, you can absolutely – well, wow. I mean, I think last year Washington was number – they gave up the most points to opposing small forwards. This year they actually could give up the 10th fewest. So I don't know if that means Otto Porter it became a much better defender, or more likely is Washington's playing way down in pace. I mean, last year Washington was like top five in the league in pace, and this year they are not. But, yeah, I mean, whatever. You can play Paul George in tournaments, you know, and just hope that he gets hot one night and Jeff Teague passes him the ball and he gets more shots. I mean, it's been perplexing to watch him play because he literally does for like long stretches. He goes in the corner and just stands, and they let Teague shoots. Miles Turner needs shots, and even Glenn Robinson takes shots. I mean, like you would think, especially now with Monte Ellis out, that his usage would go up. But it just hasn't really panned out that way, and they're the most perplexing team. Not the most. They're one of the most perplexing teams for me when I watch them play in real life. Harrison Barnes, 6.3K. I mean, I don't love this play on Monday night, but it's fine. He's been over 30 FanDuel points three straight nights. If you want to roll him out in cash, I'm not going to come to your house and punch you in the face because it's I can't argue with it. And his usage rate is 25%, and I think his should be higher too. I don't know, like, who's shooting for Dallas? Can somebody tell me that? Who the heck's getting all the shots? I mean, Darren Williams is not, his usage rate isn't high. I mean, is Rick Carlisle is basically just telling everyone that they can only shoot like 10, 15 times a game? Is he trying to have like some type of equality program for shot attempts? I don't get it. I mean, Barnes and Wes Matthews, they both should be getting up an additional 5 to 10 shots a night. I mean, Dallas needs scoring. They cannot score. Andrew Wiggins is the same price. And I was thinking, I was right on Twitter. I was talking to someone before the show. I mean, this is a clear cut case where, you know, Barnes would be the cash game play and Wiggins is by far the better tournament play, especially in this matchup versus Phoenix, especially because Phoenix cannot defend the small forward position. They give up the fourth or fifth most FanDuel points to opposing small forwards. And Wiggins' usage rate keeps rising. It's now close to 28%. You know, quite honestly, if you wanted to roll out Wiggins and cash on Monday night, just because the matchup's so delicious, I don't blame you. And I love this. It's an elite level tournament play on Monday night. Next, you got the two Dallas boys, Wilson Chandler and Gallinari. They're both 5.8K. Since Wilson Chandler entered the starting lineup, he's been really disappointing. 19 and 33 FanDuel points. I guess 33 is fine, but 19 FanDuel points against the Knicks on Saturday killed me. And I had him as a core four player, and it let me down. And I penned him a little note. I can read it to you guys now if you want me to. It says, "Dear Wilson, why? The judge." That's it. Pretty easy, right? He has not responded either, man. You think he'd respond, sucker? Anyway, I do love the price. 5.8K for him, if he's going to be starting now, is very fair. And the difference between Gallinari and Wilson Chandler is usage rate. I mean, Wilson Chandler is 24% usage rate, and Gallinari is a disgusting, pathetic, sickening 19% usage rate. And that's why, as long as if they're both starting, I mean, I prefer Wilson Chandler just for that very reason. Now, the problem is not an ideal matchup situation against Dallas, but if you are going to roll one of the Denver boys out, I would prefer Wilson. You know, although Gallo's fine too. I mean, they're both going to get you hopefully low 30s in minutes. And yeah, I'm probably going to do one lineup where I play both. I mean, like you can do weird things on a small slate like this. You can play two guys in the same team, at like a power forward center, two small forwards with Gallo and Chandler. I mean, you can do some funky things like that and it could pay off. I mean, you got to get creative and remember, if everyone's thinking alike, man, that means you're not thinking. So how many people are going to have a Gallinari Chandler lineup? Probably no one. The judge will have that. Granted, I'll probably lose with that lineup, but it's creative. I like it. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate. His price keeps dropping because the usage keeps dropping. Where is it now? It's 15%. And I mean, he plays minutes. He plays in the low 30s in minutes. He's not scoring dependent, obviously. And he can be in the mid to low 20s FanDuel points. Ceiling super low, though, and I don't love the play. Maybe a small uptick because of Kelly Oubre's out, but not much. TJ Warren, I think, is back playing now for Phoenix. He only played 14 minutes. Check his minutes out and see what he's doing. That actually, if he's going to get more minutes, then I'm not as high on Booker. So dang you, TJ Warren. Marcus Morris. So his price has dipped to 4.7K. So he's been, I think he was a player who led the players only meeting. He's one of the most irate players because his usage has dropped a ton since Reggie Jackson's been back. 12 and 8 FanDuel points the last two. That's disgusting. So if you want to roll him out in a tournament, go ahead, but I'm probably not going to touch him in cash. Cephalosha, 4.3K. I mean, it's funny because you have him and Roberson in this Atlanta-OKC game. They're basically the same player. I mean, I think Roberson's a little bit of a better shooter. They're both guys who basically their only role on the team is to defend, and that's it. And then you stand in a corner on offense, and you hopefully get a three-pointer. And with Cephalosha, both of them, they both can occasionally get a steal. They're basically clones if you watch those two play. Cephalosha seems to have a little bit of a hot, he's been producing a little bit better this year. I think he gets a little bit more shots than Roberson because Cephalosha doesn't have Westbrook on his team. But, you know, they're both fine punt guys if you want on Monday. Right now I do have Cephalosha as a cash game play. It's going to be an up and down game, and I'm hoping he can squeak me out 25 FanDuel points. Now, I don't know if I'll stay with him, but I've used him in cash this year, and it has worked out. Even though he's coming off of a game where he only had like 8 FanDuel points, which is disgusting. Glenn Robinson is 4.3K. Look, I think he's still going to start, And he's still getting big minutes. Even though CJ Miles is getting good minutes too, Robinson had 36 and 33 the last two games, 25 and 15 FanDuel points. I told you I had him at like 1% on Saturday night, and he did fine for me. I mean, he was not the I don't remember how that lineup did that I had him in, but he was perfectly fine. All right, at 4.3K, 25 FanDuel points, sign me up every day. CJ Miles, this is 4.3K. He hasn't done it. He's had like one game this year where he's went off. I mean, he has the potential. Tournament only play. He's going to get 24 minutes, and if his shot's going, he can give you 30 FanDuel points. It just hasn't happened much this year. Other than that, you got the Bays. I'm pretty sure Bazemore's not starting, but he's still getting like 30 minutes a night. He had 29 FanDuel points last night out. That's why Sefolosha's production was so bad. I mean, and that's why I'm going to have to rethink if I want to go Sefolosha in cash, because Bazemore is there, and Bazemore is more of the offensive guy. In this Atlanta-OKC game, Atlanta's going to need to score, so maybe they play Bazemore a little bit more minutes than Sefolosha. I mean, they don't need Sefolosha and Roberson to defend each other. I mean, so, yeah, I got to think more about who's going to be getting a lot of the minutes for the Hawks. I don't think I mentioned Morrow at shooting guard yet for OKC. He's in play in tournaments. You could throw him in lineup if you want. And then small forward, Jeremiah Grant. He started one. I mean, since Oladipo's out, he started one game and then he came off the bench one game, but the game he came off the bench was against Phoenix and he played 29 minutes, had 19 FanDuel points at 3.5K. That's fine. So you want to throw him out. I think you can do it. It's if you really want to have some money to spend up at other spots, it's okay. Power forward. Man, my voice. I'm losing my voice. Need some water. Download the app Draft. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. The bailiff says hi. All right. So power forward, Paul Millsap, 8K. So I'd like the match beer against Oklahoma City. I would like it more if Enes Kanter was starting. As I mentioned before, Millsap's usage rate always perplexes me. It's 24%. I wish it was higher. He's not scoring dependent, so it doesn't worry me too much, but he hasn't been great the last two nights I've played him. He's at 35 and 28. His price, you really do need 40 FanDuel points. He can do it. I just don't like using him in cash this year. It hasn't worked out for the most part. I think he's a fine tournament play, though, on Monday night. Jokic. I mean, the issue with Jokic now that he's starting is he just can't stay out of foul trouble. I mean, he's so used to Mike Malone giving him like 14 minutes a night that he just never had to worry about fouls, and now he does. And he can't stop touching people everywhere. He's like Draymond Green, except Draymond Green, basically does it on purpose. And I mean, I don't love this game, but the upside is just tremendous with him. And I'm not sure who the hell heck from Dallas is going to be guarding him. So yeah, I mean, I'm still going to use a lot of him at 5.9K. That's a very fair price. I mean, look. The last two games, 20 and 19 minutes, and he still gives you 27 and 24 FanDuel points. If he can just stay out of foul trouble and give you 30 minutes, he's averaging more than like a fantasy point, like 1.5 fantasy points per minute, and he could crush value even against Dallas and give you 30, 40, 50 FanDuel points. So an elite-level tournament play, well, let's say excellent. One notch down from elite because of the matchup and the pace of that game, but he's still an excellent play. On Monday, and for both, I think he's fine for cash and tournaments. Tobias Harris, yeah, Detroit's going to be a fascinating team to watch. It's hard to play these guys. Tobias Harris is, just not sexy. The usage rate 21%, and that was a lot of the year without Reggie Jackson. So, I mean, I don't love that play on Monday night. Gorgui Dieng. Now, on paper, this is a fantastic matchup because you can attack the heck out of Phoenix power forward position. I mean, I think they're still starting the rookie Marquise Chris, who for some reason starts and then never gets more than like 10 minutes. Although the last couple games, I think he has. He's starting to play better. Is Chris up small forward on FanDuel? No, he's power forward. All right. So I can talk about him in a second. So, hold on. My computer's freezing up on me. Dang's fine. He struggled a little bit last game. Only got 33 minutes, which for a Minnesota starter is weird. But other than that, he's super consistent. 30, 23, 28, 23, 28, 21. So he's a perfect cash game play on Monday night. And you can use him in tournaments too, just because I do love the matchup. But a really nice, safe cash game play. Kenneth Fareed. Look, we all know what Fareed's going to have. He's similar to, I don't know who I just mentioned, somewhat similar to Moutier, except the reason Fareed sucks is because it's all about Mike Malone hates him and won't give him minutes. But there's going to be, you know, a few games out of 10 where Fareed goes bonkers. I mean, I don't think – normally when he does, it's in a fast-paced game. You know, so it's he did well against the Knicks. He did well against Portland. He did well against Orlando. I mean, the last time that Denver played Dallas, he played 8 minutes and had 2 FanDuel points. So, you know, Utah, he had 18 FanDuel points. So I use him kind of a lot based on matchup. It's hard to roll him out. Although he's still, if you want to use him in tournaments, go ahead. Markieff Morris, 5K. I told you, you're going to really attack the Indiana power forwards. Give up the 6th or 7th most FanDuel points. So Markieff is an interesting play on he had 44 FanDuel points on Sunday. I didn't realize that. I didn't play the early slate, so. Yeah, I mean, I knew Bradley Beal went nuts. I didn't realize Markieff had that good of a game. 23.9 boards, 3 assists, 1 block, 3 steals. Wow. I mean, so 5K in an elite spot. I mean, you easily, for your two cash game power, your power forwards could be Gorgui Dieng and Markieff Morris, and I'd have no issue with that on Monday. Enes Kanter, tournaments only. Other than that, Thaddeus Young, tournaments only. Marquise Chris, who I just mentioned, I mean, he actually has gotten 24, 31, 31 minutes the last 3 games, and that's turned into 18, 16, and 31 FanDuel points. Look, at 3.8K, that's all you need from him. And, like, if you watch him play, he's super athletic. In some ways, he's similar to Brandon Ingram. I don't think he's as talented as Ingram is. And Ingram, like, everyone made fun of me because I played Ingram on Saturday night, and he ended up with like 35 FanDuel points, and I had Ingram at like 1% owned. Marquise Chris is going to be like 1% owned on Monday. He's dirt cheap. A super fast paced game that's well suited for him because I'm telling you, he's a freak athletically, and it's an interesting spot in a small slate. Why not? Center, Karl-Anthony Towns. So Towns has. His price is rocketing up. It's up to 9.4K, and that's really high. I mean, it's because he's had a couple monster games. He had a 70-point game, you know, a month ago or so, and he had his last game out against Houston, he had 63 FanDuel points. And because of that potential ceiling, that's why the salary has gone up. The problem is he really needs to give me 42, 43 FanDuel points to feel good about myself. And there's many times where he does not do that. Even though he gets 35 plus minutes and has a really nice usage rate of 27. I like the matchup here. You can attack Phoenix. You can attack, I don't care who's starting, if it's Chandler or Alex Len. So he's fine. He's just really, expensive. And if you play Westbrook, as you guys all know by now, if you're playing DFS, it's hard to have the money to pay up for other guys. You can do it. And he's a really good play on Monday. It's just, it's expensive. And if you look at his game logs, he's less than 50% in the last 10 games or so. He's hit value. So maybe for that reason alone, you want to throw him in tournaments only and not cash. Although I'm just the judge, man. You guys are the jury. You make the ultimate choice. If you want to use him in cash, you can. Dwight Howard, 7.9K. I actually used some Dwight Howard, this past weekend, he did well for me, man. 40 and 45 FanDuel points the last 2 nights. last two times. I mean, the usage rate is 20%. Never going to be high though, because if you're playing him, you're relying on rebounds for the most part, and hopefully some blocks, although the blocks aren't that great this year. But 23, 15, 16 rebounds last three games. And I think at that price, I mean, I don't like to attack Steven Adams. I mean, OKC gives up the sixth fewest points to opposing centers, and Steven Adams is one angry SOB. So I don't love this matchup, but I mean, Howard's relatively safe, you know, up-tempo game. I think he's okay. Not great. Drummond, 7.8K, man. I used a decent amount of Drummond on Saturday. And, I mean, Drummond, he sucks. I'm just going to be honest. He sucks. He stinks. He's regressed in every possible way. If you watch him play in real life, he's worse offensively than he was last year. He's worse defensively. I mean, he has lapses for, like, quarters at a time. I mean, he doesn't touch the ball for six, seven, eight possessions. He's got to rely on getting offensive rebounds. He's super frustrating to own. He always gets off to really fast starts. He'll have like 10, 15, 20 Fando points in like the first 15 minutes, and then he'll get like zero for the rest of the game. With that said, I mean, will I play him on Monday? I mean, probably a little bit. You know, the matchup's fine. It's I mean, Chicago, you can attack Robin Lopez. I mean, Robin, the thing about Robin Lopez, even though he's a big body, he doesn't move very well. So, I mean, Drummond should be able to grab some boards on both offensive and defensive end. It's just, I'm just so tired of playing Drummond. And Drummond's always low owned this year, but that's for a reason. That's because he hasn't been producing. So this is the lowest over-under of the night. I think people are going to be off Drummond. I mean, I'll play him in a tournament or two just to get that low ownership in case he goes off for 50, because it could happen. It's just, he's been super he's been the most frustrating guy to own, because I've rostered him every night, and he does have the talent to do it. It's just he look and it's also like a look on it. It's almost like the Jay Cutler syndrome, right? If you look at his face, it looks like he doesn't care either. He's just like moping around out there, the ultimate tin man himself, playing with no heart, no energy, super frustrating guy to own. Miles Turner, 6.5K. He's fine. The problem is I just don't think the ceiling is there anymore. Even though he's gotten close to 40 Fanduel points a couple of times in the last week or so. You know, like at that price, like 40 is really, really good, but he also can give you 20 very easily, like he did against Detroit. He had 22 Fanduel points last night out. So he's not a cash game play for me anymore. If you want to use him in tournaments against Washington, I mean, you can surprisingly, I've watched many people attack Gortat, because Gortat is getting older. He doesn't move that great. And the thing about Turner that I do like is that he can bring you out. He can take you out on the perimeter. So I think he can give Gortat some trouble there. So if you want to roll him out in tournaments and do a little game stack of that game, I'm fine with it. And that same token, Gortat, I mean, between Gortat and Turner, Gortat's, I think, the safer cash game play, and Turner would be the tournament guy out of the two. Although, when you look at their production, it's actually pretty similar. I just think Gortat's a little bit safer, and I think Turner has a little bit of a higher ceiling. Tyson Chandler, he came crashing back down to earth. I guess the last two games, he's had 23 and 15. His price went way up because he had like a 43 and a 27 Fando point night, but that was when Alex Len was out. Alex Len's back, so I don't expect Tyson Chandler to be getting 40 minutes again. I expect him to get 24 minutes and to give you 20 Fando points, and if that's going to be enough for you, you can play him. I don't want to play him too much, though. Steven Adams, 5.2K. Dwight Howard is another guy that I don't love to attack defensively. He gives up Atlanta gives up the second fewest points to opposing centers. Plus, there's been nothing this year that's made me in awe of Steven Adams. He's been better lately. He's been somewhat consistent last four or five games. But for the most part, I mean, that just offensively, his touches are so limited. He can literally go a quarter without touching the ball. He basically just gives Westbrook a pick on every single play. I mean, watch. I mean, every possession down, Steven Adams sets a pick for Westbrook, and then he rolls and doesn't get it. So it's a picking, you know, like a pick in the word N, but there's just no roll. Like, he does roll, he just doesn't get the ball. So therefore, I'm just going to call it a pick N. If you want to go that route, though, he'll be under-owned, and he's relatively cheap, and there's not a lot of value centers. So for that reason, I think I like him over I think I do like him over Tyson Chandler. I think he's going to get more minutes, and I think his ownership will probably be lower. Robin Lopez is 4.9K. Man, like, I was playing him a ton earlier in the year, and then, like, the Bulls have been just a mess, and Robin Lopez has not been that great the last few games either. 17, 18, 26, 24, 19, last four or five games. I still think, you know, at 4.9K, he's a relatively safe play. So if you want to go that route, you can. He'll be under-owned. And you absolutely can attack Drummond defensively. So, I mean, it's okay. The Bulls have just been a mess. So it's hard to play him with any real zeal. Although he's probably the lowest I'll spend at center on Monday. Yeah, there's no one else that I want to touch. All right. That's it. That's the show. Man, that probably was still like an hour, even on a five-game slate. Man, I got to speed these shows up, guys, right? Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. I guess that was the first show of DG's Chambers. Wow. That's how you know it's 4:25 in the morning. DG's Courtroom, that's the new name of the show. If you want in Chambers on Monday, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Other than that, you know, don't go crazy on Monday. Enjoy the slate. I think it's a nice little five-game slate, but I would play a little bit, you know, less than you normally do. But let's still have fun with it. Let's still make some money. Let's have fun with Chambers. And I will see you guys back on Tuesday. And with that, court is adjourned.